I know exactly what I'm going to say.
I hope so.
The whole sheer is here. I just don't know how to begin. Because there are two things I want to say. There is one thing, one where I want to disagree with something that was written by Hanan Porat in Parshat Toldos. And then there's another which I want to demonstrate for you that this man succeeded in capturing the essence of Yitzchak Avinu in a way that I never saw anybody do. And I'm going to share that with you. So my question was, should I start off attacking him and then end off lauding him? You know what? On the sheet, that's the way it is. And there's a special reason. Special reason, I'll tell you. Let's look, you know, let's start with number one. Hasodeh. He makes the following comment. This is from Hanan Porat. Hamila mancha leharad dmuto shel Yitzchak. The word that leads us and directs us and accompanies us, a mila manche. It is that certain words, nearly every parsha, that the essential nature of the parsha is encapsulated in that one word. In the life of Yitzchak Avinu, it's the word sadeh. Sadeh. And it's pretty simple to figure it out. The first time Rivka sees him, she's coming from Padan Aram and she's on the camel. Vayetze Yitzchak losuach basodeh. Yitzchak went out to talk in the field. And the Gemara says, Ein sicha elo tfilo, sicha means he went out to daven. He composed mincha. He established mincha. The field for Yitzchak is the place of great communion and communication with God Almighty. That's not the only thing. When he's going to send Esav out, he wants to bless him. Go out to the field and capture a goat and prepare it for me the way in which I like. So, in that first one that we mentioned, there are really two things that happened over there. Yitzchak, last week said it goes out it's still on. But wait, what happens when he's out in the field? Vatisa Rivka Deina. Rivka lifted her eyes. Vatayda Yitzchak, and she saw Yitzchak, Vatome. And she said to Eliezer, Mi ha'ish halozeh ha'holech basadeh. Who is this man that's going in the field? So you know what the field now becomes? The field now becomes the great meeting where the love between Yitzchak and Rivka begins. When Yaakov comes in to receive the blessing, so Yitzchak says, the scent of my son is like the scent of the field. There's a lot more. Yitzchak, of course, is going to be the one, in this week's Seder, he's the one that's going to plant, plow, harvest. He is deeply rooted basadeh. Deeply rooted basadeh. We're going to continue with this idea, but I want to finish the sentence. First one, the word that guides us in order to shed light on the character, personality, the essence of Yitzchak is the word sadeh. He gam, this sentence, I have good reason why I disagree. He gam milat hamafteach. It's also the word that opens up pesher ta'uto ha'tragit shel Yitzchak. It opens up the door to the tragic mistake that was made by Yitzchak. Bahadafat Esav al pnei Yaakov, that he preferred Esav over Yaakov. I disagree completely. First, let's see what he says. Then I'll tell you a conversation that I had with Hanan Torah Dolosha. Yitzchok Rolev Esau, Yitzchok sees in Esau at Benon Mamshir Darko Mafil Chayav Basadeh. He sees Esau as the one who's going to continue the great accomplishments of his life out of the field. Shehadeh Esau Ish Yodea Sayyid. Esau is the one who knows how to hunt. He's Ish Sadeh. He's the man of the field. And his garments have the essence of the field. Benon, however, what happens is Ahavatol Esau Nesameta Denov. His love of Esau blinds his eyes, meaning out from seeing. Kiavur Esau ein hasod emikor hashra'a el lekom hitmakrut liyitzarin afilin. For Esau, the field is not the place to grow, to develop, to feel the closeness to God. Precisely the opposite. For Esau, the field is a place where what plays out in his life are his darkest evil desires, the desire to kill, the desire to be immoral, upulchan haniyadiyut. He worships peace now, food now, porridge now, immoral relationships now. He can't wait. He needs the whole world. And that brings Esau to exhaustion and really a sense of hopelessness, as he expresses at the beginning of the Sefer. Esau came from the field. There it is, the word the field again. He came in from the field and he's exhausted, and he sees his brother Yaakov, who is cooking this red stuff. And he says, give me that red stuff, and if not, I'm going to die. Okay. And therefore, the way he says it, halitenina, shovel the food into me. And the whole, his personality is one of, as he expressed it himself, hine anochi holech lamut, I'm going to die. Lama zali b'chora. What do I need the birthright for? The first. And it doesn't mean necessarily that he's going to die right now. I assume that Esau's whole philosophy in life is, listen, let's eat, let's be merry for today, tomorrow, the day after, we're going to die. The whole world and all of life is supposed to be a time at which we just fulfill all of our desires, even our basest desires.
Instant gratification,
very good word. That's miyadiyut, instantaneous gratification. So I want to tell you a little story. I got a call one day that Hanan Torah, this is 10 years ago, maybe even more, in the days of the Oslo and after Oslo, Hanan Torah would like me to come to a meeting. V'hinei anochi oyefi ager, was exhausted, put in the whole day of work, but if Hanan Torah calls, I went. And the issue that we were dealing with was an issue of taking certain steps in order to stop the government from doing something, slow down, do something. We know that the government was doing terribly ridiculous and stupid things from which we are suffering until today. So there was a question on the table, do we do it, don't we do it? Will we accomplish something, will we not accomplish something? It was Parshas told us. So I told Hanan, I'm going to tell you something. And this is what I told him. Something that I said many years ago in Ishiya. In the Parsha it says, Rivka loves Esau. And Yitzchak loves...
No.
Rivka loves Yaakov. Very good. I love when you catch me.
Gotcha.
Dead in my tracks. Rivka loves Yaakov, and Yitzchak loved Esau. So I said the following, Yitzhak's love of Esav was not because he was blinded. Yitzhak's love of Esav was, and if a tata has a son who's a wayward son, he's not the nachas he would have expected, so you abandon him?
No.
Or what would the Baal Shem Tov have said? Love him more. Love him more. But what do you want? The fact is, in this sentence that Rivka loves Yaakov and Yitzchak loves Esav, what's happening over here is Yitzchak is the normal one and Rivka is the abnormal one. A mother loves one son and not the other? But we can understand Rivka. We can understand Rivka. Because remember, at the beginning of the Seder, she's having a terrible, terrible pregnancy to the point where she says, if this is what this pregnancy is, long as I know that, what I want it for, what do I need it, I can't. So she goes to ask God. And here, I've pointed this out a number of times. She comes to the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'eved by Yomer Hashem Law. God told her, there are two nations in your womb, and they're going to struggle. Throughout history, there's going to be a struggle between the two of them. And the older one will ultimately serve the younger one. She has already been told, before these children are born, she's already been told what the end of the story is going to be. She knows who these two chevra are. So she can't help herself. Because she understands. And you know, if I want to become one of these pseudo psychologists, but I'm not as bad as the rest of them. She rejected the evil of her whole environment, her house, her parents, her brother. She hates evil more than Yitzchak. And when she sees that she's going to have a son like that, she can't love him. Yitzchak is the normal one. Yitzchak is the one, you have to say, Kinder, you loved him. What are you talking about? You loved him. Because if it says that he loved Esav, he certainly loved Yaakov. There's no question about it. And I said to Chanan the following, but you should understand something else. There's a second dimension to all of this. The fact that Yitzchak loved Esav saved Klal Yisrael, saved Yaakov's life twice. How? One. Number two. When Esav saw that his father had blessed Yaakov, Vayomer Esav Velibo, Esav said to himself, Yitkevu Yimei Evel Aviva Harga Yaakov Achi. The days of mourning that my father will come, I'm going to kill my brother Yaakov. Rashi says, Yikrevu Yimei Evel Avi, when the mourning for my father comes, Kemashmo, that's what it means. When my father dies, Shelo Atzaer Et Abba, Esav would have wanted to kill Yaakov on the spot. But he's held back, he's withheld, he can't do it. He can't cause pain to this father who loves him. Do you know what Yitzchak's love does? Saves the hand of Esav. You know what happened? He lost the opportunity. He may never get it again. But even then, next Sefer begins by Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yaakov leaves on his way to Haran. He finally, we know about the, he falls asleep and he sees angels going up and down the ladder. The whole story over there. Then finally he comes to Paranagam and he sees the shepherds out in the field. And finally he meets Rachel, he kisses her and he cries. So it's Rashi, number three, Dabar Acha. You know why he cried? He cried, Lefisha Bobby, you're dying, they come here. Why does he cry? Because he came empty handed. Amar, he said to himself, Eliezer, Eved Aviyaba, Eliezer, the servant of my Zayde. Hoyu Biyodov Nizamin, Utsmidim u'mikdonos, when he came to take a wife for Yitzchak, he came laden with nose rings, with bracelets, with delicacies. Vani, and I come ein biyadi klum. I'm completely empty-handed, nothing. Why did he come with nothing? Lefisheradaf Eliphaz ben Esav ben Mitzvahs Oviv Acharov, because Eliphaz, the son of Esav, pursued him because his father Esav had commanded him, kill Uncle Yaakov. That means that which Esav himself couldn't do, he now sends his trusty son to do. Jacob was empty-handed because Eliphaz, the son of Esau, pursued him at the command of his father, Lahargo, to kill him. For he's single. And he caught up with him. You know, it's fascinating that he caught up with him. The Gemara says, and Rashi brings it, that in Yaakov's journey, Targam Nahagayim, he had miraculous Tfitzas HaDerech. The road flew before him. Eliphaz didn't have Tfitzas HaDerech, but the power of hatred is so awesome that he catches up with his uncle, Lahargo, to kill him. And he overtook him. And here it is, he's running. He has exhausted himself just to catch up with his uncle and kill him. But since Eliphaz grew up in the close embrace of Yitzhak, Moshach Yado, he couldn't do it either. He withdrew his hand. The love of Yitzhak for Esav and Eliphaz stayed his hand the second time, and he couldn't kill Yaakov. So poor Eliphaz, he once went through this whole Rashi. He says to the erstwhile murderer is standing there before the murderee or the one to be murdered, and he tells him, Feta, Yaakov, what am I going to do with the mitzvah of my father? My father gave me a mitzvah to kill you. I went to the mitzvah, I put on a kartel. I said, Harini Muhan Lazulon, to kill Uncle Yaakov. What am I going to do now? So this was one of the brilliant moments in Yaakov's life. He should have said to him, you're crazy. It's a mitzvah of your father to kill. You're crazy. You got a big mind. You need a doctor. Yaakov, brilliant. It's so brilliant. Says, I understand your dilemma. You must be in a terrible, terrible state. I'll tell you what. Take all of my money. And if you take all of my money, I'll be poor. And the Gemara says, only Choshev Kemeis, whereas person who's poor is considered like he's dead. And I can see the smile on Eliphaz's face. He killed Uncle Yaakov. And he didn't kill Uncle Yaakov. He killed Uncle Yaakov as his father had commanded, and he didn't kill Uncle Yaakov because Yitzchak, the Seder. Twice, therefore, the love that Yitzchak has for Esav stays his hand and the hand of Eliphaz from killing Yaakov. So I turned to Hanan Torah and I said, there are times that we have to do things, even if all they accomplish is, the word that I used was, lemazer et hanezek, to diminish the damage. We may not be able to succeed fully. Chances, whatever the undertaking was, we're not going to succeed fully, but we'll diminish, we'll delay, and that also can be important. So now I wondered, when I saw this week, I wondered, did he write this before I spoke to him, or did he write this after I spoke to him? I want to feel that he wrote this before I spoke to him. Because would he have known what I told him, he would not have written that the blindness of Yitzchak toward Esav was the tragedy of his life. It was not the tragedy. It was the blessing for Klal Yisrael. Okay, we took care of that. Now I want to show you genius. But by the way, Efton, I have to say, in all truth, there's going to be gold mixed over here in Den Der Hanan Paratz Olam HaShalom. Yitzchak is the man of the field. If we are to look at his life, we're going to come up with some really difficult problems. What do we know about him? He plows, he plants, he harvests, he digs wells. One well, two wells, three wells, four wells. I mean, we don't really hear about him learning Daf Yomi, finishing Shas every month. He's not the one who is bringing the world closer to the belief of Avraham and Sarah. They worked with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people. No. Not a thing. He doesn't seem to be going out there doing anything. Not only that, if we're going to read it superficially, and unfortunately many people do, you know what? This man likes a good meal. He calls his son Esav and he says, go out into the field and you know, hunt and bring a goat or I don't know what, and prepare it the way I like. You understand it all? Esav already knows the way his father likes a real, you know, a good steak. It's done. We're not talking about the al-ha'ish, you know. We're talking about, you know, Ramado or something. You know. And they bring me wine, and I will drink, and I will worship. Okay? Of course, it's Yaakov who ends up bringing in the meat and the wine and the rest. So what do we know about Yitzchak? He eats, he digs, he plows, he plants. Is there anything spiritual about what Yitzchak does?
His mincha.
Huh?
His mincha.
His what?
Mincha.
You're right. She says mincha, right? That's the only thing. And since that mincha, davening mincha there, back in Parshas Chayesara, in Toldos, but we do have God appearing to him, and we're going to see that too. What we have to do is get to the essence of what Yitzchak is. And then I'm sorry to tell you, that while I was preparing this year, I even remembered what we talked about last year, this parsha. I got very, very upset with somebody who wrote on the parsha. I'll read it again. Isaac lived under the dark suspicion that his father really preferred Ishmael. And you know what the Akedah was? The Akedah was an attempt to rub him out, get rid of him, so his father Avram would be able to live happily ever after with Ishmael. Of course, I exploded into a paroxysm of anger last year. I've calmed down since then. I let it all out. You take the Akedah, which is the source of Kleinstrom in all generations, and you turn it into something ugly, and you turn Yitzchak into a sicko. Unbelievable! And this was an Orthodox rabbi. What mishigit is this? Out of your mind! I mean, there's a lot of other great morsels over here that I can read to you. He's fooled, the wool's pulled over his eyes. That's one of the worst, you know, one of the worst things to emerge from the parasha, the idea of pulling the wool over his eyes. Nobody pulled the wool over Yitzchak's eyes. So what is Yitzchak? So let's go. Number four. By Yidro Baritz, there was a famine in the land. Milfad Hadrov Harishon, aside from the first famine, Asher Hayav Yimei Avram, that wasn't the day of Avram. We remember when Avram finally comes to Eretz Yisrael, makes the whole journey all the way from the ends of Mesopotamia to the land of Canaan. He comes into the land, and there was a famine in the land. And Avram has to go down to Egypt because of the famine. And now there's another famine in the days of Yitzchak. Vayelech Yitzchak el Avimelech, Melech Plishtim Geror. Yitzchak went to Avimelech, the king of Plishtim Geror. Vayelo Elo Hashem. And God appeared to him, and he told him, Al Tedeh Mitzchayim, don't go down to Egypt. The rest of the passage is, Shchom Vaaretz, dwell in the land that I shall tell you. And Rashi says, Al Tedeh Mitzchayim. Now we're going to begin building up the case of who this Yitzchak Avinu was. Don't go down to Egypt. His intention was to go down to Egypt just as his father had done Bimei Harov in the days of the famine. Amalot, God said to him, Al Tedeh Mitzrayim, do not descend to Egypt. Shata Ola Terima, for you are a blemish-free offering. You're a holy sacrifice. Vein Chutz Laretz Kedai Lecha, and any place outside the land of Israel is unworthy for you. Oh, all of a sudden we hear the Rebbeinu telling him, no, you're different. By the way, what does he want to do? He wants to follow in the footsteps of his father. But more than that, we're going to see a Rambam, where the Rambam says that a person is not permitted to leave Eretz Yisrael except to marry or if there's a famine. And this Yitzchak does not leave Eretz Yisrael when he has both of these at Hedem. He needs a shidduch. No. Avram says, my son is not going back there. He sends Eliezer to get him a wife. But what happens if he would have gone to Esther's local Orthodox rabbi? His local Orthodox rabbi would have pulled out the Rambam and told him, listen, you're allowed to go to Eretz, leave Eretz Yisrael in order to find a shidduch. Go any place in the world to find a shidduch. If there's a famine in the land, how long is you permitted to leave? Yitzchak, presented with both of these halachic possibilities to leave the land, doesn't leave the land. God, Avram in one case says, nope, you're not going there. Don't take my son back there. And here God appears to him and tells him, oh, take it, don't go down to Egypt. Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi. And this is brought, number five, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi is the classic great Mefarish of Rashi, with 400 years ago, 500 years ago. The Ram, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, says the following. Umeyye devarav elu haram, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, on his perish and Rashi, and these are his words. Sha'ata ola tamima, she kodesh kedoshim. You're an ola. You were brought on the altar. You're an ola. And the law of a korban ola is that it's the Holy of Holies. That's Holy of Holies. The Chol Eretz Yisrael is Kodesh. And Kadoshim Yotze Chutzlar Azara, V'im Yotza Nifsal V'Nesa La'olam Af Alpi Shechazal Mekomo. The halacha is, if you have a korban that is supposed to be eaten in the confines of the Beit HaMikdash, and you took it out of the confines, it becomes posel forever. If you have a Korban Pesach, all of the Klal Yisrael is in Yerushalayim eating the Korban Pesach, you take it out of Yerushalayim, posel forever, even if you're going to bring it back later. He explains what he's trying to tell us is, you know what it means that you're an Ola? You can't leave Eretz Yisrael. Now watch what that means. We're just leading up. Hey, Avraham Avinu was born in Chutz Laretz, And he ended up in an Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu was born in Eretz Yisrael. Avram wasn't. Avram was born in Paddan Aram, and Aram Naharaim, or Kazan. So Avram was born in Chutz La'aretz, came here to live and stay here. Yaakov was born here. Twice he had to go out to exile. Once when he runs at the end of this week, said the beginning of next week, said he's going to run to the house of Laban, and he's also going to have to go at the end of his days to Mitzrayim, and he's even going to die in Mitzrayim, and then brought back here. The only one who born, lives, remains in Eretz Yisrael is Yitzhak, and that's going to be very significant. This is not a Zionist talk, this is very, very significant. I'll explain to you. Number six, we're building up the case. Vayeyo Elav Hashem, it's something that we just read. God appeared to him and he said, I'll take him to Tzchaima. Don't go down to Egypt. Shchon Baretz, dwell in the land. The Medrash says, what does Shchon Baretz mean? I say Shchona be'Eretz Yisrael. Make a neighborhood in Eretz Yisrael. Have you Noteya, have you Zodeya, have you Natsiv? Go ahead and plant a tree and plant seeds. Dorachar, a second shot in Shchon Baretz. And we will see that the two are not at all exclusive, but both are true. Shchon Baretz, Shakenet Hashchina Baretz. Bring the divine presence down upon this land. Gur Baretz ourselves, live in this land. Amrav Hoshia, At Ta'ola Temima. Rav Hoshia said, you are an Ola sacrifice. Ma'ola in Yotzoch Chutz L'Kloyim. This is really where Rav Elio Mizrahi got it from. An Ola, if you take it outside the confines of the Beth HaMikdash, he sell it. It's no longer kosher, no good. You too, Yitzchak, in your tzata chutzlarts in the salta. Finish. Because to you and your seed, I will give all of these lands. I'm going to tell you, right away. Let's go a little further. Other side, number seven. Here is the Chamon that I told you about. Asula Tzeit Eretz Yisrael L'chutzlarz, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlarz. La'olam, forever. El Lumon Torah, who to study Torah? Olisa Isha, or to marry a wife. Ola Hatzuman Agoyim, or if you have to save Jews from Goyim, you have to go to Entebbe. So you're allowed to go and come back. Okay? Ola Hatzuman Agoyim. Say from the going, the Al-Zor Lord, to come back. The Chen Yotze, who is Schora, you can leave the land temporarily to do business. Avolishko, the Chutz Lords, but the 12 Chutz Lords, also. Elim came Chazak Shom HaRov, unless the famine is that strong. Achenase Shova Dinar of Chitin B'Shnei Dinrim, if the price of grain has doubled. Okay. So as we said, Yitzhak had both, two of these hefedim he had, and he didn't use any of them. He didn't go out in order to marry, and he didn't go out when there was a famine in land. Now, two more main points. Okay. The Gemara, number nine. This is a Gemara. Number eight is so important. If we were talking about Yitzchak seeming to be such an unspiritual being, not involved in Kiruv, not involved in Talmud Torah, nothing like his father or his mother, he plants, he plows, he digs, he eats, he drinks, then of course, I mean, we have to learn the Rashi. Says that Abimelech looked through the window. Vayashkeif Abimelech, when he's living in Gror by Abimelech, Avimelech looks through the window and he sees Yitzchak playing with his wife, Rivka. Rashi says, Vayashkef Avimelech, Avimelech, king of the Philistines, gazed down, Ra'ohu. And you know what he saw? I don't think this is written about any of the other great people in Tanakh. He saw Yitzchak Mishamesh Mitato having sexual relations with his wife. Okay? Do we need any more to turn Yitzchak into a very, very physically oriented individual? So now we have not only he eats and he drinks and he plants and he plows and he digs, he also engages. I mean, it's not a bad thing, but you know, it doesn't say it about Avraham or Yaakov or Moshe or Aaron, right? Okay? There's something that would strike us as being undelicate about the Rashi. Now, of course, this is also even more than all of this, you know what it is? It's the ugliness of Avimelech. He was simply a peeping Tom. I mean, it's not that Chas V'Shalom Yitzchak or Rivka engaged in sexual relations in a way that they can be seen. He went to see. And if you want to see, you can find all sorts of ways to see. But it's not written about anybody else. So here is this Yitzchak. Furthest thing from an Ola to Lima. Ola. Alright, let's go. Last, number 9. The peak is going to be number 10. That's the next page. Wait, don't peek. You won't get it. Famous Gemara. Vamar Rebeloza said, what's meant when it says famous Pasuk in Yeshayahu? It also appears in Micha. The whole Chavim and Tavim, many nations are going to go beyond them, and they will say, L'chu v'nala el ha'ashem el beit elokei Yaakov, let us go up to the house, to the mountain of the house of Yaakov. These are the great psukim of the Lo Yisod Goyo Goyo Cherev, no nation will lift a sword against another nation, they will no longer learn how to wage war. Why does the verse specify the God of Yaakov? El Harashem, El Beit, the house. That's really going to be the Beit HaMikdash. Why is it the house of Yaakov? Elohei Yaakov is the temple. Is the temple only the house of the God of Jacob? The Lord of Avraham Yitzchak? The Beit HaMikdash is not the house of Avraham Yitzchak. The Beit HaMikdash is only Beit Elohei Yaakov. And the Gemara says, Love Kav Rom Shakosu Bohar. It's not going to be like Avraham, about whom it says Har. The word that describes and defines Avraham in Torah is mountain. Lech Lecho, God tells him, take your one and only son Yitzchak and go to the mountain that I will show you. On the third day he lifted his eyes and he saw the mountain. He tells those who accompanied him, we're going to go up to the mountain. We're going to come back down. Avraham is defined as mountain. So, Lo Kavron Shekosot Bo Har Shenema Asher Ye Omer Hashem Bahar Hashem Yoreh, as it says at the end of the Akedah, he says, like it is said today on the mountain, Hashem is seen. The Lo Ki Yitzchak Shekosu Bo Soda, not like Yitzchak where it says Soda. And that's really what we've been talking about today. Yitzchak is defined by Soda. As it's stated by Yitzchak, L'slap Soda, Yitzchak went out to pray in the field. Elohim Yaakov, you know what the Beit HaMikdash is going to be? It's going to be like Yaakov, who called it house. At the beginning of next week's Seder, when he has that dream on his way to Paran Aram, Vayikra Shem HaMokam Ashim Beit El, he called the name of the place Beit El. What does the Gemara mean? The Gemara means that there were three defining periods in the growth and development of the Jewish people. There was a man who climbed the highest mountain, a world that had sunk into idolatry, and he worshipped idols, was able to pick himself up by his intellectual bootstraps and climb that great mountain. He discovered Dharamala. But you know, what does Dharamala say? Mi yale Bahar Hashem. Who will go up to the mountain? Umi yakum b'mekom kodshahu. Who is going to remain? Not enough to reach the top of the mountain. You have to be able to stay there. Do you know whose task that is? Yitzchak, who comes after Avraham. The top of that mountain is called the Sadeh. That's where he davened. What Yitzchak is doing is he's taking all of that greatness of Avraham and he's endowing that mountain with the grace, the dignity, and the key word is going to be sanctity. And you know what Yitzchak is doing? He's not out there to win the whole world, to make decisions for God. He wants to make sure that one person, Yaakov, is going to build the Bayit. The Bayit, third generation, that's eternity. I want to go one step further. Rashi says a number of times in Parashas Lech Lecha that whatever Avraham did, he was paving the way before his children. He comes to Ai, he goes to Beit El. These are different places where there were going to be battles against the enemy of Israel. Wherever Avraham treads, he is conquering the land before the Jewish people. Masa Avos in the Rabbanim, what the fathers did, that was not simply an indication for the sons, it prepared the way for the sons. You know what Yitzchak is going to do? The whole essence of Yitzchak is he is going to settle Eretz Yisrael for Klal Yisrael, for all generations. If Avraham had to fight, Yitzchak never fought. Yaakov is going to have to buy land and he's going to have to fight for land. Yitzchak is the one who plows and plants and digs. And he's going to endow Eretz Yisrael with a sanctity that nobody else ever could. And here I come to the main point, there's enough time to do it. And here, this Zolchanan Parat Haman Alichtigen Gan Eden. When I saw the one comment that he makes over here, I felt finally somebody was able to capture the essence of Yitzchak Avinu. We're back to the Mesilat Yesharim, last page. Number A. A is the introduction. A comes from the introduction of the Mesilat Yesharim. And he tells us what the whole Sefer is based on. It's based on a statement of a Tana about Pinchas ben Yair. And there it is, Mikama, where it's on the line. Mikama would have Pinchas ben Yair. For here, Pinchas ben Yair said, Torah miveya mivila dein zihiyut. Torah brings to watchfulness or carefulness. Zihiyus mivila dein zivizus. Being careful about the mitzvahs of Torah brings to the next step. The next step is zeal, to do things the way they should be done. As Jesus reveals the daily cure, Jesus brings to one to a sort to be clean of sin. Nikios reveals the day precious. Nikios brings to a sense being separated in some way from the rest of society. Precious reveals the day tahara. Precious brings a person to purity. Tahara reveals the day chasidus. Tahara brings to piety. Chassidus and Chassidus brings Lidei Anova to humility. Anova Livei Lidei Yiraschei. Anova humility brings a person to fear of sin. Yiraschei Mevia Lidei Kedusha. The fear of sin brings to Kedusha sanctity. Okay. There are 10 levels over here. The whole sefer of the Mesilla Hishoron by Moshe Chaim Lutzato is a description of each one of these 10 rungs that ultimately bring to sanctity. Kedusha brings to Ruach HaKodesh. He's not going to discuss that. That's already in God's hands. That's not in man's hands. But I just want to read with you a choice selection from the definition of Kedusha. What does holiness mean? What does holiness mean? B. Where it's underlined. Let's go there. Ach HaKadosh. The person who has spent a lifetime perfecting himself until he comes to the level of Kedusha, being a holy one. Dovek Tomid Lelokov, he is always clinging constantly to his God. V'nafsho mithalechet bein hamuskalot ha'amitiyot, and he is able to travel through the channels of truth, the ahavad boro v'yirato, love of his creator and fear of him. The way he lives is considered as though he is walking before God in the land of the living. By the way, Rashi, when it says in Hallel et Halef Lefnei Hashem Ba'artzot Achayim, Rashi says Eretz Yisrael. Now watch. Odenu Po, the Holy One, is still here, Ba'olam Hazeh, in this world. But he is all holiness. Watch what the Mesil Sisharim is going to say, and this is Haman Torat's great contribution. He says, if you want to understand the essential nature of Yitzchak, read what he says. V'hine ish kaseh hu atzmo nechshav kamishkan. A man like this is considered a holy dwelling place. Kamidash, like the Kamidash, hu kamizbeach, like the altar. Think of Yitzchak, the Olah, hu kamizbeach. Ukamamor Musalas, our rabbi said, Vayal me olav elokim. God went up from Yaakov because of Avos Hein Hein Amarkova. The Avos Avron Yitzchak and Yaakov are the ones who carry, so to speak, the heavenly chariot of God. The Hein Amru Hatzadikim Hein Hein Amarkova. Ki Hashchino Shara Aleihem, because the divine presence rests upon them. Kemosha Haitasha Rabba Midash, just as it would dwell in the Midash. Umi'ata, listen to what the Messiah's Yisharim says at the very end of the Sefer, which represents the striving, the spiritual striving of a lifetime that those people never, ever even come close to. Hamachal Shem Ochlin Hu Kekorban Sha'ola Al Gabi Yavishim. When they eat, their eating is essentially holy, and it's as though it's a sacrifice brought on the altar. Yitzchak is not sitting over there eating venison that he brings in from the field and guzzling wine. This is an act of absolute sanctity. Ki vadayu. You know who's elevated by it? That food, that wine, becomes elevated in sanctity, as though they were brought upon Mizbeach, because they are brought before the divine presence. And the divine presence is always with him. He is holy by Tzot HaKayim. The Kol Kach Yitron HaYalehem B'zeh, because of being eaten by a tzaddik, and in a sense becoming something completely holy and sanctified. You know what that meant? That food and its kind was blessed throughout the world. As the rabbis say in the Medrash, Kein hamachal v'ha'amishta, the eating and the drinking, sho ish ha'kadosh ochel, that the holy person eats, ili hula machalahu, it raises and elevates the level of that food, ula mishtar, of that drink, ki ilu nikra v'agave mizbeach, mamish, as though it really was brought on the mizbeach. Uwe inyin shom rusam, that's why the rabbi said, kolam evig doron l'tam l'chacham, somebody who brings a gift to the Talmud Chacham, it's as though he brought first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash. The Chaim, under the world, says, one should fill the throats of scholars with wine, the Mekom Nisachim, in place of the wine libations that were brought in the Beit HaMikdash. Now listen to the next few lines. And in these next few lines, you're going to see that Hanan is absolutely right, and that anybody who attempts to assess the life of Yitzchak as though this is just another simple human being with all of his desires and his lusts is making a profound, tragic mistake. V'ein ha'dover hazeh sheyu tamidei chachamim lehutim acharei achilam shteya. There's no such thing as these tamidei chachamim who have reached the level of kedusha. They are not it's not as though they have a terrible time of eating and drinking. Chas v'chalila sheyimalu gronam kimalida tagagran. They fill their throats like you're filling up the mouth of a ravenous person. It is the way I've explained. Talmidei chachamim were holy in their ways and in all they could do. Hinei heim manish kamigdash v'chamizbeach. They are like the Beit HaMikdash and the altar. Because the divine presence dwells there as it was in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. You know what I understand now? Why does Yitzchak ask that the one who is going to bless should bring in food and drink? Because the food and drink that he's going to bring to him is going to be Yaakov or Esau bringing the sacrifice to the Beit HaMikdash. We may not fully understand what this level is. Most probably, chances are we may never ever have met anybody of this sort. We may have met people that come close. Even the Sefer himself says, no human being can ever achieve this level. But you know what happens? If he goes half the way, he's granted the Kedusha as a blessing from God. If Avraham Avinu, with his walking through Eretz Yisrael, conquers the land before his children, and he's going to make that conquest easier, you know what Yitzchak Avinu is doing? The Yitzchak who never sets foot outside of Eretz Yisrael, he is endowing this land with a sanctity that it would not have had without him. He turns every stone and every well and every piece of earth here into something that is the height of sanctity. It becomes Eretz HaKodesh because of the Kedusha of Yitzchak. He graces it. He makes it. You know what he's doing? He's preparing an Eretz Yisrael for Klal Yisrael. In his course, they'll be able to plant and plow, and not only that, they're going to reap in 100 times more. And where? As Rashi points out, it was in the south, in a year of famine. Yitzchak is capable of turning a desert into a blooming Gan Eden. quite clearly. Do you know where he did it? In and around Ush Katif. That's where Gron is. That's there, it's a smurf. There you go. Great Chachom were trying to tell us that Gush Katif is not part of Eretz Yisrael. It's Sheker, Sheker, Sheker. Yitzchak endowed with Kedusha. Yitzchak has to be approached only by somebody who has learned the entire Nesilas Yesharim until and including the last parak. Only that way can you begin to catch just a glimpse of his greatness. So therefore, I say to people who come to learn the parsha, Zeirut, careful. You're walking into a minefield if you dare touch a hair on yon holy head of Yitzchak Avinu. Don't give me all of your svaris over there. He was blind, he didn't know, he didn't see, he didn't care, he made a mistake. Vain. God forbid. I am not yet told for this one idea. When I saw it, I just... Yitzchak equals the last parrot in the Nesilas Yesharim. Nothing better, nothing greater than that. It's the classic definition, and it rings so true. The Ola Tamima, the one who can't go out of Eretz Yisrael, the one who's endowing Eretz Yisrael with sanctity. Avram conquered it. Yitzchak made it holy. We once learned the Meshech Chacham who says, Avram did it with his feet. He walked Eretz Yisrael and conquered it for the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu acquired Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people by looking at it. God tells him, Re'ei, look at the land that I'm going to give to the children of Israel. Yaakov Avinu is going to be the unusual one in the sense that the first time that he came to Eretz Yisrael was through conquest. The second time it was through settlement. The third time, this time that we came to Eretz Yisrael, we've come both with force of arms and we also came with settlement. That was Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu fought at Ha'aretz, he says in Parashat Vayechi, Asher Lokachti Miyahu Emoni, that I took from the Emoni Bechardi Ubekashti with my sword and my bow and arrow. And he also bought a piece of land and worked it. Shechem. Ultimately, where Yosef is going to be buried, Kevi Yosef is in Shechem. That's a picture of a Yitzchak Avinu. True, without any doubt. Okay.